listening to the Brick in the Wall podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Brick in the Wall podcast. You're listening. It's me, Paul, and I'm joined by Greg again this evening. How are you, Greg?
Very well, thank you very much. Yeah, Barry Baller here, everybody. Half an hour of chat. We've just listened to Boris, so we thought we'd wade straight in with a comment.
Yeah, and I think, you know, last night's podcast was so well received. You know, we tried to get Kenneth Branagh this evening, but unfortunately we struggled. However, we are really, really lucky that Mark Denny has agreed to join us tonight. So welcome again, Mark. Hello.
Hello, and thank you. Thanks for the invite.
Anytime.
So I'm trying to look more like Kenneth Branagh, but the hair situation is a bit of a problem.
So Boris has just made his announcement live on it was pre-recorded, wasn't it? On the TV. And I think the first thing to say from that is we're still in lockdown for another 3 weeks, aren't we, gents?
Yeah, definitely. We are. And it's I'm forever the optimist. I mean, negative for a change. My fear is people are going to read into this in the wrong way. He was really, really clear, I thought, about the success of the action thus far. But what I'm really fearful of, this will open the floodgates. People will go back to work because you can interpret what he said any which way you want to. That's my worry.
Yeah, and I think also I caught a bit of the news afterwards as well. Things like, you know, there's different rules in different areas of the country. So in Wales and Scotland, it's very different to in England. Mm. And my mum lives in North Wales, so I know it's very different up there. And in terms of, you know, if you live on the border, your children might even go to an English school. But actually, it's illegal for you to, well, illegal, I don't know if that's the right term, but it is enforced that you cannot go somewhere for a walk in your car, apparently.
That's interesting.
So, you know, how do you get your kids to school?
You know, that's really interesting because I'd not thought about if you're living on the border in Wales or Scotland, but you go to a school across that border. I'd not thought about that.
Yeah, and also work. So, he, you know, Boris is saying go back to work. Well, there are people who live in, let's say, I don't know, North Wales somewhere on the border, and they might work in England, you know, across the border. How does that work? And vice versa, you know. I mean...
Yeah,
I think there's lots of issues.
I think for me, what's happened this evening is I was expecting and kind of hoping for a lot of answers. But I think what he's done is raised a lot of questions.
His key word was maybe. And he said that at the outset, maybe, maybe, maybe. So, you know, he's planted the seed and what he's done is he's it's just like teaching, isn't it? If you do this, this will happen. If you do this, that will happen. And so he's treating us like a bunch of kids, really. So it's all about possibly broken promises here. So, you know, it said what's the terminology or vocabulary, Paul? We're in phase four, aren't we?
Yeah, so it's a COVID alert level, he said, that goes from 1 to 5.
Yeah, we're sat in 4 currently. We need to get it to 3 to then be able to action the sort of the kind of unlocking of the nation. So what they need is for us to follow the directive and behave in order to get us to 3 to then be able to go to the next step.
I was just thinking, we're not actually, if you looked at what he's pointed out in his graph or chart or whatever, we're sort of straddling 4 and 3. And actually what that means to me is we're actually not ready to move on.
No.
But he's trying to move it ahead because he recognises that people are feeling impatient and they're already starting to violate lockdown and, you know, and then saying they're going to double fines or something, you know, increase fines for people not socially distancing properly. And I think that's a mistake, really. It's a bit hostile, that, because on the one hand you're saying you're free to go and work, but on the other hand they're saying, but just watch out because Big Brother's going to get you and sting you if you step out of line. Well, I think a lot of people might be unintentionally at fault.
Yeah, well, he's just said tonight, though, isn't he? You can exercise as much as you want. You could go to the park for a picnic. Well, we saw what happened yesterday and Friday with the nice weather. Everybody went down into the park. Everybody was picnicking. And then how do you socially distance? I think it's a dangerous game.
I do too, because you think about it, it's all very well in the open space of the park, but what about car parks? You know, they're not massive open spaces. Cars are parked. You can't even open your door that's so close to the next car. So I think there are going to be crowds in certain areas where this just doesn't work.
Agreed.
Well, it means I'll go fishing.
Hey, every cloud.
Hey, come on. That's a sport. On your own. Yeah. 2 meter rule. You walk into where I'm fishing, you'll know about it, believe me.
Well, surely that means you just get the lake to yourself, doesn't it?
Exactly. Increase not, my chance of maybe catching something for a change.
Chance would be a fine thing. Blimey.
So, yes, you can play sports. What was it? Within your family?
Yeah, within your family.
The same phrase. So, yeah. There's a limitation on that straight away. I don't know. My fear is, you know, let's turn it back around to education. Schools are open tomorrow. Academies are open tomorrow. Are the floodgates going to open at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning? We're going to have queues of children at the door. You know, because it will be, okay, I'm a key worker, so you're there, that's fine. But then the rest of the workforce will interpret it as they want to. Because underpinning all of this is what we said, maybe we spoke about it last night, Mark, or to David perhaps before, around it's driven by the success of the economy, getting everyone back, you know, back to work as quickly as possible to save the bottom line.
Well, I guess that's right. But I mean, schools play a pivotal role, no matter how you kind of look at it, because they're either a childcare environment for workers or they are an educational establishment. But running the both, as you said last night, it's just not practical. It's just not practical at all. I mean, today I've been talking to a head teacher who you know, Greg, and she was asking about the streaming that we talked about last night.
Right.
And I've kind of accelerated myself ahead with that this morning to kind of understand how we could do it. And actually, it's looking more and more likely that that is something that's going to have to be implemented in order so that teachers don't have this kind of double workflow,
yeah.
You know, providing content, but also teaching classes as normal.
And what you said today is that if the tests are met, and really there's another couple of tests in there, because he did say we need to reverse the infection rates in care homes and the NHS, and we need the world-beating system for testing, which means that the R falls below, well below one. So in that, and then I think he qualified that, didn't he, and say it needs to be well below 0.5. Now, if that happens, there will be a phased reopening after half term for reception, year one, and year six, with further guidance to follow. Now, anybody that's worked with reception knows it's like herding cats. How do we keep a social distance for 4 or 5 year olds? So, before we came on, I spoke with a colleague of mine. He's a head teacher of an international school in Budapest, and tomorrow they're opening for kindergarten. So in Hungary, they're allowed to open for kindergarten. Now, I think he said there's normally either 40 or 60 pupils. They've only got 20 coming in tomorrow, and they're having to work in classes of 5. How do we make that work with reception year 1 and year 6?
I don't know. I mean, today I was talking to this head teacher again, saying, you know, really we need to establish a kind of way of working in school that is as normal as we can make it. Rather than saying this is an extraordinary thing, so we have to do it in an extraordinary way, it's about saying let's normalise this extraordinariness. And so TAs should be supporting the children that they have in their care, whether it's one-to-one or whether it's, you know, intervention groups and so on, and in just the same way as they would at school. And also having virtual notice boards. You know, don't let the ball drop just because you're at home and think you can put your feet up and have a gin. It's much more important to kind of keep that regular doing of primary school TA stuff and teacher stuff, you know, all the things you should be doing on a daily basis anyway. And I know in lots of schools they're doing lots of CPD at the moment with teachers, you know, safeguarding courses and all sorts of things. CPD comes in again, doesn't it?
Well, absolutely, because it underpins everything, doesn't it? You know, we keep going back to CPD. But what also interests me is the new slogan that Nicola Sturgeon clearly doesn't like, stay alert. And I sat there and I thought, what does that mean? Stay alert for what? What am I staying alert for? I don't know what COVID looks like.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's misleading that. I really do. I think it should be stay at home or, you know, go out. It's one or the other,
yeah,
isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. The stay alert thing, it kind of is a hidden inference saying, I'm okay. As long as if we go out, we're okay, but as long as we stay alert. So we're going to end up with people taking unnecessary risks.
Well, that's the thing. And just going back to the question around, well, not the question, the statement around reception year one and year six, that's an interesting approach in itself, isn't it? So reception year one, I can kind of get it because we're, you know, those children need very fast input in order to be ready for year one and year two next year. Year six, I've got a question mark over that, because to what end, you know, are we then going to hear that at the end of June, if we're back in, then there's going to be some kind of phase transition program into secondary, into year seven. So if that's the case, I get it, and tell us so we know who's the one we're looking at. Rather than now, we're sitting here thinking, right, okay, so what does that look like then? SATs is gone. I'm not saying that's a be-all and end-all, but if we're preparing reception in year one for next year, let's have year five in.
Exactly right. You know. And what was interesting, there was no mention there, other than I think he did say we need to then look at exam groups for next year so that they're not disadvantaged, I think he said. But there was no early mention of year 10 and year 12, who, if they don't go back till September, have missed half a year of their course. How on earth are they going to catch that up when their exams are in May and June of next year?
Yeah, there's lots of questions, very few answers, really, whether it's education or whether it's just the general state of the country being able to do stuff or not do stuff. I do think that sort of broadly, Boris has done all right, or his government have done all right with this. But I think we're getting to a point now where it's clear there's no real plan, you know, sort of making it up as they go along. And I'm not blaming them, because obviously it's a first. We're all doing this for the first time. But it just seems like, as I said earlier on, tonight's announcements were just like a bit premature. We're not really there yet. You know, as we said last night, still hundreds of people dying every day. And to start saying, yeah, well, it's okay to go to work, it just seems to send the wrong message at this time.
Didn't it feel like it was almost that there'd been pressure put on them from the business world, I think? They've got to kickstart the economy. It's economy driven, not necessarily health driven at the moment. I think we've moved beyond that.
What did Paul, and, you know, like every good organisation, we had a pre-chat before we came on. What did you say Corbyn said today?
Yeah, so
in response.
Yeah, so Jeremy Corbyn put a tweet out this morning. It was actually before announcement. Yeah, it was before the announcement. So I think he was preempting what was going to be said. And his tweet said, there should be no return to work until it is safe to do so. If work cannot be done safely, it should not proceed. People must come before private profit. I think he's right.
Yeah.
You know, people should come before private profit. But as Greg and I said before we started recording, what would he be doing right now if he was in Boris's shoes?
It's a platform for argument, isn't it? Because you can, you know, you're going to argue the opposite. I mean, it's just, but for political gain, I suppose. But again, I think, Mark, you just said it. Everyone is sitting on the fence. We've not really moved forward, and that's the worry. So, Mark, you're going to go into work tomorrow. You're not going to go into work. You're working from home. You'll be talking to these head teachers all about maybes. So you're going to be grafting and putting in a massive piece of work around the possibility of going back. I certainly know that my director will be saying to me, okay, what's it going to look like in X school or this school or that school? And we've got to put the plans in place. So it's rewriting all the schedule. It's actually looking at what point do we go back within the curriculum. So what are we going to teach these kids on June 1st, if that's the day? And that in itself is a mind game, isn't it? That's going to suck up an awful lot of energy, create anxiety, because we still don't know where we're heading.
But I think, interestingly, talking to this head teacher this morning, I think we have to have our own contingency plan. So immaterial of what the government are going to do and whether people are going to be free to do anything, I think we need to, like you say, people need to know within the school environment, the teachers and organisers, head teachers and so on, need to know that they have a plan to fulfill. And so it's sort of artificially creating that plan ourselves, no matter what happens, you know. And that plan can always move back into school. But I think you have to have a plan anyway to say, as you said last night, Greg, you know, we've done all this, you know, revision stuff. It's now time to introduce new stuff. And we've got to go move forward. Otherwise, it'd be catastrophic for some of those children.
I think so. And you know, one way forward might be you just create your own baseline, don't you? Where are we now?
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
Let's do a baseline check of sorts. You know, the rota and things are immaterial. We had quite an extensive rota in one of our academies, and we literally slimmed that down to the bare minimum. We just opened that back up, you know, and everyone's back in on a more frequent basis. We start to look at, you know, well-being and managing children's mental health, get them back in. You know, you should imagine the first morning, what is that going to look like? So we've got to create an environment where those kids can just literally come straight in, and it's really spelt out to the kids that we appreciate what you've been through as children within and what your families have been through. You know, you may not get onto any kind of formal learning, shall we say, until day four. You know, it's about the re-socialization of these communities and building upon that.
Yeah, I think going back to the streaming sort of issue, I had a discussion with someone today and said that I think it's really important that the children have that clock in, so, you know, registration at 9 o'clock in the morning. And that can be something, a date, a time fixed for the child, just as they would have that structure if they were at school normally. And then at 3 o'clock, 3:30, that's the end of school. So we have, you know, any business from the day, what's been going on, how did you cope, and what we're doing tomorrow, and guess what, next week we're going to be doing such and such. You know, it's that kind of structure, bookending the day for the children with the teachers.
And how do we become COVID secure? That was a new phrase tonight, wasn't it? So for workplaces, they're going to introduce a COVID secure, I don't think it's a quality mark as such, but COVID secure guidelines for employers. I mean, I think schools are quite unique in that you've got to have the COVID secure guidelines for the staff, but you've also got to have a separate set for your children. And I'm intrigued to know what this guidance is going to say. So how do we make sure that the children have a safe experience while they're returning back to school?
Mark, let's see if you're a fan of the Brick in the Wall podcast. So I think it was it week two I spoke about the example I'd seen online. Mark, this isn't a joke. So to ensure safety and to ensure that really young children, those kids are probably reception year one, Paul, if I remember. But in China, and I'm not joking, the children had a 2-meter pole running across their shoulders through the back of their rucksack. So they had a meter either side. So the poor little dots were turning round.
Smacking them in the face.
Certainly stay, well, that or you stay your 2 meters apart. And I said this online, and Paul said, oh, I wouldn't like to see the risk assessment. Oh, and by the way, how'd you get through the door of the classroom? Level of intellect. I don't know is the answer to the question, Paul. But it's going to be, I feel quite saddened by it. We're going to have teachers with PPE, possibly, if that's the way we go. And then, you know, I think, Mark, that you just said 5 to a class or something, or Paul, you said 5 to a class. That's upsetting in itself, isn't it?
It is.
Well, what about the possibility of sort of fast-track promoting TAs to lead, you know, classes as well? I mean, obviously, space is an issue, converting halls and things like that, I suppose.
I think schools are going to have to think that way. I think they're going to have to use all available personnel. Linked to the space thing is the small schools. You know, in a big school, a large school, it's not so bad in that you'll be able to space out. But I'm thinking of some small schools, if they've only got two, three classes, but they might have, I don't know, 15, 20 children in reception in year one, how on earth do they socially distance themselves? It's a logistical nightmare.
A factor into that, you know, some some unfortunate staff are still on a 12-week or midway through a 12-week absence, given their personal circumstances. So you've got to get the ratios right as well, haven't you? Because it's, I still applaud people who are working within admin departments at the moment, because their workload has just gone through the roof, in terms of conversation with parents, and they need to be the font of all knowledge. And there are lots of questions they can't answer. So they're doing a great job at the moment in just working with parents and the local community. Their role's going to be increased massively. Yeah, so they need to be in every day. They have to be there.
Well, they're going to have to be. There's no two ways about it, isn't there? But having said all of this, I mean, I'm just conscious we might be coming across a little bit negative about what was announced tonight. But actually, there's more guidance coming. We're responding just to an announcement that was made, less than an hour ago. And I think there will be more guidance coming this week. And I think one thing we've got to make sure that we do in schools and education is not panic yet. Let's wait and see, because the key words were, it's not definite that it'll be the June the 1st. The tests have to be met. If we haven't seen that R number coming down, we haven't seen infections coming down, and the five tests haven't been met, this won't be happening. It won't go ahead. Although I pray it does, because I want Nando's open in July. I mean, July hospitality can open. Come on, Nando's. I miss my cheeky Nando's.
You get your priorities right there, Paul.
Yeah, too right.
But you still can't go to the pub probably till the end of August.
Yeah. Well,
can you imagine when the pub's open, what that first night's going to be like?
Well, there'll be no social distancing, will there?
No, that's well and truly gone.
Anybody got any confessions?
Yeah, well, now, I'm just sitting here thinking, we can't ask Mark again, can we?
No, why? You can't ask me again. I can't betray anybody. Not after last night.
I have to say, that the story about Brian Blessed has gone down an absolute storm with listeners. Absolute storm.
So I've got a funny one, and you might like this, you might not, but it's on the theme of individual sports. You know, so they're saying, what did he say tonight, that you can play sports within your family? So you think, there's limitations there on what we can do, what we can't do. So I've got a sports theme here. You ready for this?
Go on.
So I worked in this school once. Lovely summer, those sports days, remember those, with the sun shining, loads of parents coming. So it's like the end of year celebration, isn't it? The kids are all achieving great things in a different format, so there's lots of field sports going on and lots of track events. Anyway, sport was quite high profile in this place, and we had, those cohorts of kids that go through, suddenly you get this cohort that are all amazingly quick or just absolutely brilliant. Anything they turn their hand to, this group of kids, they could do it, whether that be in the classroom or outside the classroom. So no, we had this sports team that won everything within the local region, and athletics was their thing. So these boys and girls could literally shift around a track like you could not believe. Anyway, sports day came, and the school had a set of sports records for each event that had been established over years and years and years of competition. Almost every record fell on that track that day. These kids were knocking 3 or 4 seconds off of, 200 metres or 400 metres. These little year sixes pinging around 800 metres in record time. And like everyone congratulating, I was sort of leading the department at the time. Brilliant, Greg, absolutely fantastic. These kids must have some fantastic PE lessons, whatever, extracurricular activities must be really strong. So I took all that halfway through the day. I'm thinking, how's this happening? Anyway, end of the day, fine. And I thought about it, and I walked back out to the school field the following week and looked at the running track, because it looked smaller than normal. Do you know what had happened? The company that ran all the pitch, they came in and did all the grounds for the school.
Too short.
The track lane's too narrow. So you're supposed to run, okay, on a track where the lane, I think from memory, it's 1.22 metres, something like 1.25 metres. They've made every lane 1 metre wide, so the track was narrower, therefore the kids are running less distance. That's why all the records
got. Did you have to break the news to them that they'd not broken the record, yeah, and they still stood?
Well, I went into their head at the time and said, I've got a confession to
Completely not my fault. And he and I stood there and deliberated, what do we do? Do we tell everyone? Do we not? Do we rerun Sports Day? Anyway, I'm not telling you the outcome, what we decided to do, because that would be breaching confidentiality. But this happens in the world of education. We can't control everything and everyone. But I did have a chuckle about that earlier. So there you go. There's one.
I like
for
it.
Brilliant. That's that, Paul. Was that all right?
Yeah, we'll take that one, Greg. We'll take that one.
Thank you. It's 25 years ago now, so hopefully the records have gone because children are bigger and stronger. So powers into insignificance, shall we say.
Fantastic. Okay. Well, I think that's probably all we've got time for this evening. Mark, Greg, any last words before we go?
My new favourite word, maybe.
Maybe, yes. Yeah. Mark?
I think sticking to a plan, make your own plan as a school and stick to it, immaterial of what happens. It's all translatable, but just have a plan.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think that's a key message, actually. Have a plan, stick to it. And we've got to wait further guidance. So,
yeah, I think so.
Brilliant. Okay, thank you all very much for listening. And that was just a brief analysis of the announcement from Boris tonight. And we'll be back with further episodes in the week. Take care, all. Bye-bye.
Bye.